Pastor, most churches assume that people don't come back to your church because they didn't like the worship, they didn't like the preaching, or some other factor that actually isn't the real reason. But you want to know what the real reason is? Well, we're going to unpack it in this episode. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about the number one reason why people visit your church and then never come back. I am excited about this conversation. It's something that is near and dear to my heart. And I think when pastors actually get this, Ian, like this is something that totally unlocks church growth. I know it did for my church.
Yeah,
when we started getting
serious
about this one thing, it totally changed everything for us. So I think it should be a good conversation for us today.
Yeah, it is. And how frustrating is it, especially if you've turned a corner? A lot of churches, once they start reaching, you know, first time visitors, and if they're so excited about that, if they don't come back, it almost just kind of completely is deflating. Right. So
it's good we're covering this. Well, let's not hide it from everybody. Let's get right into it and say,
right,
here it is. Drum roll. The number one reason why people don't come back is because you don't follow up with them.
No real follow-up. Yep, you're right, Thomas.
That's it.
Exactly. So, And we've specifically say no real follow-up. Yeah, so.
Right, yeah. And let me kind of lay out the land of what I see in churches right now. What is it like? The landscape is this. Like, most churches, I think, they understand this. They understand that, yes, we should have some kind of a follow-up process. I'd even say that the majority have some kind of a follow-up process that that is at least written down somewhere. But as I've worked with churches over the years, and this has been constant for the last 15 years, like when I have this conversation, I'll ask them about it and they'll say, yeah, we have a process. And I'll ask a further kind of follow-up question. Are you actually working it? And I'll get a response from pastors that says something more like, well, you know, it's kind of a work in progress right now. We're still kind of trying to sort this out and doing these things. And what it all boils down to is that we have a plan, but we just aren't executing it. So I wanted to break down, I guess, a little bit in this conversation about what does a good plan look like? And then how do you like ensure that you actually work the system so that, you know, these things actually work there? So I don't know. What do you say to that, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you said the key word there, Thomas, system. It takes a system. It doesn't just take thinking of, okay, man, maybe on Monday we just need to text everyone and make sure they knew that we saw them and that we welcome them back. That's just not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not doing that, you need to at least do that, but don't stop there at all. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let me say this here, a couple of things as we get into it. I do have a full video that I have done that outlines my exact visitor follow-up process that we use. It includes a download so you can get all of the emails and text messages we use so you can copy it exactly. I'd recommend you change your church name and your personal name in it and everything. But other than that, you can use all of the content that we use at my church here. So that's there for you. I'll leave a link to the actual download too down in the description on this episode. So, all right. So that being said, here's some of the things that like where things seem to break down for a lot of churches. Number one is like just getting contact information from people. This is something that I find that a lot of churches just drop the ball right here. So you need to have a very clear system, like you were talking about, of how do we get information? A mistake I see a lot of churches make is they have like four ways to give information to them. You need to have one way to give information. So don't have like a tap on the seat in front of you and a visitor card and a tithe envelope
and a QR code and a text number.
So have one, like just choose one. And it's, you know, here's another thing. It's okay if it's write down on a connect card and drop it in the offering plate.
That's fine.
Like my church, we've tried several different variants of this and we get the best results by having people write things down. And I know it's 2026, but having people write out a connect card still gets more information. And that's really the thing we care about the most. I don't really care if we look cool or not. Using the connect card is the way that we want to go with this.
So
getting their information, I think incentivizing people to give you that information. So giving them a reason to do it, whether it's, you know, a free coffee
gift
in your, what does your church do again for visitors?
It depends on the season, you know, but we change it up. It could be a free coffee mug with a little bit of a Starbucks gift card in there. It could be during the dog days of summer here in Austin, Texas. It could be a like a not a Yeti, but some sort of a tumbler.
Yeah,
we,
gotcha.
We haven't spent Yeti dollars, but yeah.
Yeah, so. There's one church locally that gives a Yeti tumbler, like a 20-ounce tumbler with the lid and everything.
They're very generous. It's like
pretty expensive. So,
yes,
yeah. My church, we do free ice cream at a local ice cream shop
that's
like
cool.
Primo ice cream, and we love that.
Yeah.
But so just incentivize people to do it, get their information, start to gather it, and then actually have a plan from that point to execute on your communication strategy. One thing we've done at my church is the speaker on that Sunday, they are required by 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday to have sent a personal text from their cell phone personally to every visitor that came for the first time that Sunday there. So now this isn't for everybody. You know, if you're your pastor isn't going to do that. He's not going to a pastor of a church of 7,000 people where you see 150 visitors every single weekend.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Right.
But our church of 300 people where we see five or six, you know, maybe five or six different families every week. So maybe 10 different visitors,
obviously.
15 visitors.
Yeah.
We can handle that, and we don't mind like a member, a new person having the cell phone number of a pastor. That's okay with us here. So we do that, and we see great response rate from that. But then after that, we have a specific requirement that by Tuesday, we send out an email with a survey that's in it to let us know what they thought about services and what they thought about what prayer requests they may have, those kinds of things. We have another email that goes out. We send a handwritten card that should get out by Tuesday and gets into their mailbox locally on Thursday. That's kind of our idea behind that. But whatever your system is, it's just a matter of actually working it. And here's what it boils down to. We've seen some studies on this. The number of people that return to an average church is between 10 and 15% after their first visit.
Yeah.
I have seen churches that have executed a great follow-up process raise that number to 20 to 25% of people returning after their first visit. So now let me talk about this for a second. 20 to 25 in my heart, it still sounds bad, right?
Right.
Like
right,
that means 3 out of 4 people still don't come back after their first visit. And that stings, right?
Right.
But really, like the increase is what we're looking at. If you double the number of people that come back, that means you're discipling twice as many people. Everybody makes their first step into your church, they come and visit once. If twice as many people come back a second time, you're doubling the rate at which your church is growing, which makes an enormous impact. So this is something that you absolutely have to get right. I found that as I've worked with my own churches, when I was a lead pastor in Wisconsin, as an executive pastor here in Honolulu, like every time we implement a great system like this, we see church growth because more visitors turn into members of our church that start serving and giving and doing all those kinds of things. So huge impact. What do you have to add to that, Ian?
Be authentic. I think that's another thing. A generic follow-up, like just people see through that these days. And again, my like you said, Thomas, my pastor of, you know, mega-sized church, it's not realistic for him to personally reach out to everyone. But at the same time, someone does, needs to be authentic, needs to be real. People know if it's just a, you know, a blanket or a form kind of, hey, great to see you. We hope to see you back again. That's not good enough. So it's got to be a real touch and authentic. So I would add that.
No, that's good. A couple other quick like hits on that. Like I think that I recommendation would be have a champion for this on your team. So I'd say staff, but like, you know, I'm not talking, that's not to be a paid person necessarily, but cast this vision to somebody and help them understand the importance.
Let them own it. Maybe again, they need to own it.
If people, if you get this right, it can double the rate at which people connect to your church, which doubles the rate that your church grows. It's such a huge lever to pull. It needs a champion on this. So a lot of times it shouldn't be you as the lead pastor, if that's your role, but find someone who you can pass this off to. And then the other thing too, is I say like, set really specific times that these things are going to happen. Like I said before, by 5 o'clock, we send this personalized text. Yeah. By Tuesday, at the end of the day, we send out that follow-up email and we get cards into the mail. So have specific times so there's no question mark as to whether it was done or not, and then follow up with it on at least a monthly basis and say, hey, did we get these out on time? Or, you know, check on Wednesday. Did everything get out the way we said it would? And if it didn't, you have to make some course corrections to those kinds of things there. So yeah, be specific on it. That's another piece of advice. So again, this is the main theme of the episode is just this one main thing.
But we have some quick hitters too, Thomas. Yeah, we have some ones that some other reasons, and kind of what I shared my feedback on is this next one here is that they didn't feel personally welcome. A couple of other reasons they didn't come back is they, you know, they need an authentic handshake, a smile, someone who knew their name, talked to them. Maybe it was a greeter that did a good job getting them over to the children's check-in, and it wasn't just a, hey, come over here, let's get you checked in. It was authentic. Again, they had that personal touch. Nothing too intrusive. Again, there's a balance with all of this. Not everyone wants to get bombarded you know, when they come into your church, people will see through when it's not authentic, but they need to be felt seen and heard and known.
I think, like, we've said this stat for years, Ian, and I can't quote a source for it, but I imagine it was at least true at one point that the primary reason why people choose a church is because they feel a connection with the pastor,
right?
And so
they heard the, like, preaching and all that.
Usually that's done via preaching, but my goodness, it, like, that's why that text message is so important, that it's personal and it's really from them and it's not a form one, it's from their actual cell phone. People can spot that and they can feel when it's real, and we can see that by the number of people that respond and say thank you or give prayer requests and that stuff. So I think a personal connection, whether it's, you know, get there to the front of the building and hug people and shake hands as they come in and be that kind of a leader and make sure your leaders and people on stage are all doing that. And you'll see that'll help.
Yeah. Another, this next one's a good one too, is that the visitor was confused about what to do next. And this is, I think, where a lot of churches mess up, Thomas, because obviously they hope that the next step is that they come back next Sunday, but it's bigger than that. It could be a new member class that's coming up, or a pizza with the pastor. I've seen one church do that, which what made me think about that. And then also just what is it a small group? What is the next what's the clear step that you want newer visitors to take, and making sure that they know that and they remember it? Yeah,
totally. This is so good, Ian. Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that I get this. Like, so many churches have lots and lots of steps, and people don't know what to do next if they're given too many options. This is, like, one of the fundamental rules of communication and marketing and those things, is that, like, the temptation is we think that if we just do a shotgun approach and give them lots of options, then they'll probably choose the one that's best for them and we'll have more people say yes to do something. Mm-hmm. But in reality, people want to be very clearly directed, and they, like, I don't know if they want this or not, but they, their actions show that they're more likely to take an action when there's very clear direction on one next step for them to do. So that's the big thing. Decide what that next step is for them, who's someone who has visited, and in all your communication, whether it's, you know, come to our churches, an Aloha lunch is what we call it. Come to Aloha lunch. That's the next step. Come and visit us, doing those kinds of things. That's what you want to push people towards, is one thing, not serve or join a life group or come to Aloha lunch or come to next week's service or get baptized or give your life. So, like, choose one and go with it.
Yeah, we kind of covered this next one just now, Thomas, and before, but having a clear pathway into community. So not just that one step, actual community. So that could be a small group. That could be pathways into connection with other people. So making sure that that's clear. We all want that, of course. So
having a line, like, so you have that one thing, but then after they do that one thing, what's the next one thing? And then what's the next one thing after that? And then what's the following one thing? That's the pathway that they will follow into community and discipleship and growth. Really having that outlined is what we're talking about there.
I think this last one's a huge one, even though we called this a quick hitter. It's that your kids' ministry, there's uncertainty with it. That's one of the worst things. I personally, my family and I had left a church because of, not this whole reason, but this was one big reason of it. So just making sure, again, parents know that not only their kids safe, you know, that there's security processes, the volunteers a background check, that the kids are they learning about Jesus? Is it just daycare, you know? Yeah. Or, you know, having just an uncertainty of like, what does kids ministry look like? Are there events? I mean, families with kids really care about this. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. 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 All right. Yeah. Let me tell you a secret thing that we've been doing. When we get a new visiting family and they have kids, so we usually get a Connect card from in-service, but then also to register your kids, you have to give your information there. So we almost certainly will have the kids' names and their addresses. And so what we have done with that is we take that and to each child, so if there's three kids in a family, all three of them, we will send a individual kind of fun, age-appropriate card to them that just says, it was so great to meet you. You're such a fun person and we're glad you came to Children's Ark is what we call it here. And in that card will include like a bunch of gender and age appropriate stickers that go with it. So a bunch of stickers are in there and they get a piece of mail in the mail for them. This is something that kids very rarely get and always love because you know, little kids don't get mail. It's exciting when they get it. They get to open it and see, and they got a gift of stickers. We've seen this just to go over and above, and it's been really kind of a fun thing for us to do on that. So just a that's thought, something yeah. that works well. Get serious about kids ministry. Yeah. That's really important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else, Ian?
No, you can do this. Again, don't miss the number one thing. Have a good follow-up process, a good funnel there, make it authentic, and that's going to make a big difference in return visitors for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Do use that. Again, I'll leave a link in the description so you can download my exact visitor follow-up process. There's also that video if you want to kind of get a lay of the land on how to use it. I recommend you watch that one next. Thanks for being part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you.